And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Bon Voyage, written for Suspense by Murray Burnett.
I looked at my watch. It was 6:16, Friday evening. I knew I had exactly 17 minutes before Hank Wilson, the night watchman of the bank, would be somewhere near the front door. I took a quick look around the office, turned the nameplate which said Alec Thompson face down on my desk, and closed the ledger on the Garrison estate for the last time. Then I opened the box containing my new sports jacket, took out the jacket, opened the right-hand drawer of my desk, and proceeded to fill the box with bundles of crisp new banknotes totaling $200,000. I packed them neatly in the box, getting a tremendous surge of satisfaction as each bundle slipped into place. Each bundle represented a neat withdrawal from the Garrison estate, which I was handling for the Intercity Guarantee and Trust Company. A withdrawal which would take them a few months to unravel when I didn't return for my two-week vacation. I carefully tied the twine around the suit box exactly as it had been tied. As I put on the exceptionally loud sports jacket the box had contained, I glanced again at my watch. I walked over to the closet door, opened it, and looked at myself in the mirror. I knew it was foolish, but I couldn't resist patting myself on the back. The jacket covered my business suit jacket perfectly. No one could see that I was wearing a jacket over. And then, satisfied that I had left no loose ends, I closed the closet door, turned, walked to my office door, opened it, and started down the long corridor leading to the street, and escaped for me with $200,000. I looked at my watch again. It was 6:29. I was 4 minutes early, but Hank would be within earshot. I decided I couldn't wait.
Hank! Hank!
As I heard him start down the corridor toward me, his footsteps kept time with my heart. I had staked everything on my knowledge of Hank Wilson and his habits. But I knew he was supposed to look in the box that I carried under my arm.
In just a moment, we will return for the second act of Suspense. Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics. So serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice-cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Seems so sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay up and stay up and be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
All through working, Mr. Thompson?
All through, Hank.
All set for your vacation?
Mm-hmm.
On the same place you did last year, up at the lake.
Same place.
Wife and kids, too.
Oh, they're already up there.
Think after 5 years I'd be able to put my hand on the right key fast, wouldn't you? See, you're in sort of a hurry, too.
Oh, that's all right, Hank. I've got
some. Look, Mr. Thompson, you can't kid me.
What do you mean?
I've been around here too long not to know exactly what goes on. I know how anxious you are to get out of this place and up to the lake.
Oh, well, Hank, I guess I've got to admit that you're right.
That's funny. Hey, just a minute.
Yes?
This. What you got it?
What, this? Well, it could be $200,000.
Maybe a million.
Could be.
You know the rules.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I know them. You're supposed to examine every package going out of here.
That's my job. But I've seen your old jacket often enough. Hey, looking at that new one you're wearing blind me.
No, you still don't approve?
Look, everybody to his own taste, I always say. That sure is a wild jacket for you, Mr. Thompson.
Well, I'll open it if you want, let you take a peek at my other jacket.
Oh, you know, I was just kidding. You're okay, Mr. Thompson.
No, whatever you say.
Like I said before, I've been around here too long not to know just what goes on. You're just lucky Bill Hagen isn't on duty tonight.
Oh, don't think I don't know it.
Bill's a stickler for all the rules. I don't have to tell you. You know how old Bill is.
Oh, yes, yes, I know just how he is.
Well, so long, Mr. Thompson. Have yourself a real good vacation.
No, thank you, Hank. I'm sure I will. I walked into the night with a box containing $200,000 under my arm. I looked at my watch, 6:33. Plenty of time. 11 minutes to my apartment in a cab, 10 minutes more to clean up the apartment, pick up my luggage, transfer the money to a special case I had made for it, and even with traffic, not more than 27 minutes to the dock and the steamship Concordia, which was waiting to take me to a brand new and wonderful life.
Attention, please. All ashore that's going ashore.
I looked out over the scene from the very topmost deck of the Concordia, liking everything I saw, thinking that in a very few minutes the city would be lost to view in the little wisps of fog that were already beginning to curl about the deck. And as I looked, Celia came walking down the deck. And as always, when I saw her, she created a moment of excitement. She stood a few feet away from me, and then she said...
Exciting, isn't it? I said, it's exciting, a ship sailing.
And it's something to live for, a moment like this.
Your first ship?
Yes, very first.
Then I can't ask you if that whistle means we're sailing.
Well, I imagine it's a warning.
I won't believe it until we're actually moving.
No, we will be in a few minutes.
A few minutes. I still can't believe that in only a few minutes those buildings, city will slide away from us forever.
And you won't be sorry?
No. No. Oh, Alec, darling.
Celia, stay where you are. Cindy, do as I tell you.
We're alone. There's no one but us here on the ship.
Look, we are not supposed to know each other. We're to meet casually aboard ship. Now, that is the way I planned it.
I have to know. Is everything all right?
Everything is fine.
You're sure?
Yes, fine. Everything is fine.
But I don't mean just the money. Your wife and son.
Look, I have told you. I have done all that I can for them. Now, that is settled.
And you're not sorry. No regrets.
No regrets. For the past 5 years, I have been mixing up the books of the Garrison estate so that I could take $200,000 in cash and be sure that the cleverest bookkeeper will take months to unravel. So when I made this decision, I worked everything out, every detail perfect. Now, nothing is going to spoil it now.
We're on our way. Just two strangers meeting aboard ship.
Meeting a little prematurely, perhaps.
There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about the sailing. We don't know each other.
Well, then let's keep it that way, shall we?
Right.
This is strictly a vacation. Now, as soon as we sail, we should arrange about our tables in the dining room.
Aren't we going to sit at the same table?
No. It is care that pays off. It's the little things that can trip you.
All right, Alex. Anything you say.
Celia, I love you. And we are going to have a life that we want. But only if you remember that it is the little things that count, the tiniest little things. It's because I was so careful, so exacting about every detail that we got this far. Because I figured everything out. Because I...
Alec, what is it?
Oh, no.
Alec, what's wrong?
A little thing, a tiny, stupid little...
What thing? Alec, tell me, please.
What can I do?
Alec, what is it?
What?
What's the matter?
The map. I just happened to think of it. Last night at my apartment, I was checking over everything for the last and final time. And I put it down on a piece of scrap paper. And then I threw the paper in the basket.
That paper, what did you put on it?
The cost of our tickets for this trip.
Only that? You gave me a terrible scare. I couldn't imagine.
You don't understand. They will search my apartment when they find the money missing from the office. They'll search everywhere, and they will find that little piece of paper.
But there are only numbers on it. No one will know what they mean.
The police will. They will figure out exactly what those numbers mean. The price of 2 one-way trips to France.
By that time, we'll be safe.
No, not as safe as I'd planned. As soon as they find out that we went to France, they are halfway to it. According to my figuring, it would have taken them a month to know that we went first to France. Now that piece of paper ruins everything.
Could be wrong, Alex. Maybe you forgot. Maybe you tore it up or burnt it.
No. It's in that basket. Why did I do such a stupid thing? A little thing like that. Just
attention,
a rotten little thing.
Attention, all passengers. Due to the fog, the sailing has been delayed 3 hours.
Alex, are you...
Any passenger wishing to go ashore may do so, but must be back aboard at least 1 hour before sailing time.
2 hours?
No, Alex.
2 hours?
Please.
Faith, look.
Don't try it, Alex. Please.
Why not? I can get that paper and be back here
it's
before...
It's wrong.
It couldn't be more right for us. 2 hours. Plenty of time. 2 hours. Celia, I am just going to the apartment and I'll be right back.
In a moment, we will return for the third act of... Now here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Bergen, why did you stop the car here?
I want to talk to that farmer.
Oh, mister. Oh, you called me?
Why, Mortimer Smith.
Oh, where? Oh, that's me.
Are there any General Motors dealers around here?
No, but we got some Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and Cadillac dealers, though, and some Chevy and GMC truck dealers, too.
Well, Mortimer, those are all General Motors dealers.
Oh, what do you want to see them all for?
Well, I only want to see one for Guardian maintenance.
Do they make that car, too?
No, that's a service that's available only at General Motors Dealer Service Department.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And right now, they're featuring complete lubrication, quality appearance services, brake adjustments, and front-end inspections. It's quality work performed by GM-trained servicemen at a fair price.
Well, that makes good sense even to me.
I was lucky. Everything worked as planned. I congratulated myself for not throwing away the keys to my apartment when I left. I was going to reserve that pleasure until we were far out at sea. I opened the door, and as soon as I did, I knew that something was wrong. The light was on.
Oh, hello, Alex. Well, what's the matter, Alex? You look... Why, you're absolutely right. Were you frightened because all the lights were on?
Helen,
are you all right, dear?
All right?
Yes. Well, what are you doing here? Why...
I left Edward and Francis a leg. Thought I'd keep you company in the trip up there tomorrow. This is a surprise, isn't it, Alex?
Yes, Alan, it is quite a surprise.
You sure you're all right?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong.
But when you stop asking me the same thing over and over, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong. I'm all right.
You don't have to shout, Alex. Well, why are you looking at your watch?
I am not shouting. I just didn't expect to find you here, that's all.
You sound like you're sorry.
Believe me, it's not that.
Then what?
Well, I had... Helen, you shouldn't have left Ted up at the lake alone. You ought to get on the next train going back.
Ted's in good hands.
With strangers.
Friends, I told you, George and Edna Summers. Now, you know how fond they are of Ted.
Just the same.
Oh, you're such a worrier. Concerned about the littlest thing.
Well, you can't be too careful.
Ted's all right, but you stop worrying about him. When we get up to the lake tomorrow, you'll see him.
Helen.
Yes?
Helen, I'm not going up with you tomorrow.
What?
You'll have to go without me.
Well, then there is something wrong. Now, what is it, Alex?
Well, I haven't got all night to stand here and answer ridiculous questions.
Look, now, maybe you'll feel better after a cup of coffee. I've got some on the
show. No, I don't want it. Yes, Helen, maybe you're right. Coffee would be a good idea, I guess.
I had an idea now. It would take her a little while to prepare the coffee. At least she was out of the room. I went right to my desk, got the waste paper basket underneath it, and started to look through it.
It wasn't there. I looked at my watch again. It was still all right. I had an hour. The time was getting close. And while I was still looking through the basket, Helen came back.
Alec, what are you doing?
Did you take something out of this basket?
No. Now, here's your closet. Well, what are you looking for?
Only for a piece of paper with figures on it. You sure you didn't see it around?
A positive. Now, what can be so important about a piece of paper?
Because it's important. Wait a minute. Here it is, under the desk.
That's what you wanted?
Yes.
Well, thank goodness. Now, maybe you'll sit down and have your coffee and tea.
What?
Well, why do you keep looking at your watch?
I have an appointment.
Alec, I want to know what's going on.
Nothing is going on. I just didn't expect you home, so I made an appointment.
I don't mean just that. You said you're not going up to the lake tomorrow. Well, why? And that piece of paper you were so frantic about. Alec, what
all
is
right,
it?
All right, Helen, all right. I guess I might as well tell you everything now. There is something going on. It's the office.
But you're on vacation.
Well, it's 8:20, and I have an appointment.
With whom?
With a man who's talking about going into the investment business with me, and I'm supposed to spend the weekend with him at his place out on the island.
Never mentioned this before.
Well, it's a deal that I've been working on for a long time. I didn't want to say anything until it was all set.
You wanted to surprise me?
Yes. I've been on edge about it, too. That's why I was upset when I found you here.
And the piece of paper?
They are confidential figures that I needed.
Well, I won't say I'm not disappointed, but the deal means so much.
It means everything. My one big chance. If this falls through, I'll never have another. I know that. If I fail now, I'll be stuck the rest of my life. And Helen, look, just in case I don't get up to the lake by Monday, don't you worry.
But you said the weekend.
Well, it may take longer. I sent you a letter up at the lake telling you all about it. You would have gotten it in the morning. I didn't want you to think that something had happened to me when I didn't show up tomorrow.
But, Alec...
Helen, trust me. Believe me.
Well, why shouldn't I trust...
Helen. I absolutely cannot be late.
I'll get it.
No, let me... Hello. I'm just leaving. Yes, I found it. No, there's nothing to worry about.
Who is it?
Oh, that's right, Mr. Sanders. I'll be there on time. I'm sorry to rush out, darling, but believe me, this is vital. I was out. I was on the street. I had over 50 minutes to get to the boat. The telltale slip of paper was in my pocket. There was no cab around. Right next door was a bar. Would I have time for a drink? I needed one. I looked in. There was only one other customer. I was perfect. I went in. Brandy, please, and I'm in a hurry.
Okay, bud.
Now, what do I owe you?
90 cents.
I'll keep the change. Thanks.
Just a second, fella.
Now, excuse me, but I'll
take it. Get your hands on the bar. You guessed it. It's a sticker.
Now, look, I've got to get out of here. Take my money, but let me go.
The guy with the gun gives the orders, pal. Relax and hand over your wallet.
All right, but just give me money for cab fare.
You sure know.
Would you please give me a break?
I'm giving it to you. You ain't hurt. Now, both of you, take off your pants.
What?
Don't give me no trouble. Call for your pants and lay down on the floor. I don't want to be in no hurry when I walk out of here.
Now, listen, please, listen to me. You've got to listen to me. I am sailing to Europe. Look. Now, here is my passport. I have to make a boat.
This is one boat you're going to miss.
I can't. Now, look, how much did you make in here? A couple of $100?
Not as good as that. You only have 70 in your wallet.
Well, I'll give you $1,000.
What?
I swear it. I will give you $1,000 if you'll just come to the boat with me.
How do I know you're on the level?
Now, here, you can hold my passport. Come on, here, take it. But please, let's get out of here and get a cab. I have got to make that boat.
$1,000?
I promise you. But we have got to get there before the boat sails, or else I won't have the money.
Okay, pal. You got a deal.
In just a moment, we will return for the concluding act of Suspense.
Munch, bunch of fields, corn chips.
You know, that's a favorite occupation these summer days, munching Fido's corn chips.
There's nothing else like them. No other kind of chip that can match Fritos' crisp, refreshing flavor. Fritos are made to munch. By the bagful or with salad, sandwiches, and long tall drinks. They have just the right taste and texture contrast to make good food or ice drink taste even better. Children love them, and they're a really healthful, nourishing between-meal snack in summer. Grown-ups find there's contentment in every munch of Fritos corn chips. Their special flavor is really satisfying. Get a bag today. F-R-I-T-O-S. Fritos corn chips.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips. It's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with Fritos corn chips. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips.
We walk out of the bar. The man with the gun wouldn't run. I look at my watch. 46 minutes. Well, there was plenty of time. Half hour to the boat, the most. And there'd be time to get him on board, give him his $1,000, get rid of him. I even began to enjoy the situation. It wasn't likely that he'd report anything to the police. Well, we made good time. And then, we were in my stateroom.
Okay, Sal. Where is it?
It's right here. I'll get it for you.
Have to open this bag.
Never mind. Just hand me the bag.
What?
I said just hand me the bag.
But you want the $1,000? It's in here. I have to take it out.
I'll take your word for it, though. Just hand over the bag.
Look, wait a minute. You can't take
it. Listen, pal. That whistle blows up the sound of any shot. Now, are you going to give me the bag?
Right here. There it is.
Thanks, Sal. You're being real smart. On voyage.
All right, get me the purser, quickly. Hurry. Who is it?
Me, Celia.
Well, come in.
What is it? What happened? I hear voices in here. What are you doing on the phone?
Nothing. I'm not doing anything on the phone.
Who is the man in here with you?
A hold-up.
Hold-up, man?
Yes. He took the $200,000.
But you were going to stop him. You were going to call...
Yes, I was, but how do I do it? Do I tell the purser or the captain that there's $200,000 in cash in the bag that that man is taking off the ship? No, Celia, we're trapped. Going anywhere.
Suspense. You've been listening to Bon Voyage, written for Suspense by Murray Burnett. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense.
Hi, this is Dennis James. Say, remember way back when this melody was popular? Something very special about a long-time favorite, isn't there? Well, folks feel the same way about one of Kellogg's favorites, Kellogg's All Bran. Going on 41 years now, it's been America's most popular good food way to fight irregularity from lack of bulk. Because it's whole bran, Kellogg's All Bran gentles away irregularity safely and reliably. And because it's deep-toasted for extra crispness, it never gets mushy in milk. There's only one All Bran, Kellogg's All Bran. That's A-double-L-hyphen-B-R-A-N. Kellogg's All Bran.
Heard in tonight's story were Bob Reddick as Alec and Rita Lloyd as Celia, with Mary Moore as Helen, and Joseph Julian, Dan Ocko, and Alan Manson. Listen again next week when we return with Reports from a Dead Planet by George Bamber, another tale well calculated to keep you in...